Thank you, Lord God, for this glorious day. Let all that I say come from you through me and out to others. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I don't know. I think that the 8:15 did a little better. Let's try that again. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Okay, everybody sing the Ren and Stimpy song with me. Ready? Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy. Seriously, this is a wonderful, glorious day. And in fact, the most wonderful day of the year does not happen during the season that we call the most wonderful time of the year. Because this Easter day, this is the most wonderful day of the year. But how did we get here? How did we get to this glorious day of celebration? You know, if you joined us this week for services, then you walked through Jesus' last day with the disciples. You walked past the cross where he was crucified. You walked with Mary and the other women who came expecting to anoint the body of the man in whom they placed their hope. You might better understand if you walked that way how we got here. You know, the gospel says, "Do not be alarmed." And it continues, "But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Well, clearly they told someone. I'm not sure we'd be here if they didn't tell someone. But alarmed is a pretty intense emotion, and combine that with terror and amazement, and I think it's a pretty overwhelming experience, to say the least. These women needed a little processing time. They needed to wrap their minds around what they saw and heard before they could even begin to describe it. You know, we experiencing things in life that are difficult to explain. We all experience stuff. It's tough to describe it. And that doesn't mean that it's not real. It might be difficult to describe, but it doesn't mean that things that happen to us aren't real, or if they've never happened. Christ is risen. Okay, good, you didn't answer. For over 2,000 years, we have marked and remembered and celebrated the impossible. My theology professor, Dr. Walter Eversley, always said, "Just because something has never happened before, it does not make it impossible." Our celebration today is absolutely no exception. We're here together, but each of us had to arrive at this day following our own path, searching for Jesus in our own time, and discovering for ourselves the implications of an empty tomb in our lives. You know, today we share impossible news, unprovable Easter news. Now history, the account in history, tells us that Jesus did die, and his disciples and millions of other people over centuries hold fast to the claim that he rose from the dead, that he was the Son of God, who opened the door for all of us to eternal life, and who gave us the command to love one another. We may not satisfy all people with proof of the resurrection, but proof of the resurrection, I believe it's inside all of us. Lack of proof doesn't mean the resurrection isn't real. There are many things in this world that are real that we can't prove. Prove your imagination, prove your intuition, your emotions, or your thoughts. All of these things exist and are real. I think that God continues to create and humankind continues to prove that just because something never happened before, it doesn't make it impossible. Humans have achieved many things that we once thought were impossible, like flight and submarines and space exploration, medical advancements, the Cubs winning the World Series. Yeah. Imagine what is possible with God. All too often, I think that we build our lives on the foundation of what is not possible. We listen more to people and we follow social norms instead of listening to that small, still voice that's within and following our hearts. I'm sure that the voice of reason that influenced my life choices were similar to your own, only the messages were different. They've been customized for each of us. Messages like, are you sure you want to go to school for that? Isn't that hard? Or where will you get the money for that? Or you can't get in there unless somebody will sponsor you. Do you know anybody who went there? You're not enough. You're not tall enough. You're not short enough. You're not smart enough or pretty enough. You're not smart. You're not enough. I think that we're all up to the challenge. I think that we are all enough. Who is enough? We all feel the same way, and we all are enough. We're all suited for any kind of challenge that small, still voice within tells us we need to take up. We're all suited for the challenge that our heart tells us to follow. Because with God, all things are possible. This day, the resurrection tears down our foundations of impossibilities and builds a new foundation of hope. Jesus chose us. He chose us, and he knows our names. And he calls us to roll away the stones in our lives and find hope. An empty tomb means that wherever you go, Jesus has gone before you. Nadia Bowles Weber put it this way. She said, today, it's about how God continues to reach into the graves that we dig for ourselves and to pull us out, giving us new life in ways both dramatic and small. The voice within you knows your name. Listen to it and follow your heart and celebrate. Hear the sound of exaltation and victory. Make all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines. The Lord God has wiped away the tears from our faces, and our disgrace has been taken away. You know, we have a huge advantage over the women who came to the empty tomb. We do not live in a world in which death was the end all, the ultimate end of someone, when death meant a permanent destruction and total loss to the life of those left behind. The life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus changed all of it. We are living in an enlightened age. We're living with hope that the kingdom of God awaits us. And the news that we share today is impossible news. But I want you to turn a deaf ear to those who focus only on the impossibilities. Live into the wonder of possibilities of life in Christ, because there is much that offers us. I believe that there's more to be discovered and created in the world. With God, we can achieve the full potential that the universe has yet to unfold for us. And I believe that because I have faith. On Thursday, during supper with the disciples, Jesus gave us a single commandment: love one another. And as Brandon said in his sermon that night, love. It's just that simple. God is love. God is love, and he is risen, and now it's up to us to carry that message to the world by loving each other. You know, there is one person in particular who I think is probably the finest example, public figure example, of how to love one another. Fred Rogers wanted to make a TV show for kids. Let me tell you, the people he told that to at the TV stations thought he was crazy. TV show for kids, that's insane. Most of the producers told him it'll never work. But he did it. He had a singular vision of love and kindness. And for Mr. Rogers, love was at the root of everything. Fred Rogers said, all learning is love. Love is at the root of all relationships. Love or the lack of it. The greatest thing that we can do is to help somebody know that they are loved and capable of loving. He was a balm of kindness and empathy. And when I watch him on TV, I can see the Christ shine through him. We do find Christ in each other. And I wonder how many times I've encountered Christ through others but failed to recognize him. How many times did I let the world block me from seeing Jesus in other people? Do you wonder that too? If we follow the command to love one another, then we look at each other through a lens of love. That's when we experience Christ. That's when our hope is renewed. That's when the Spirit cannot contain the proclamation, Christ is risen, and there is light, and there is hope in the world, and Jesus has chosen us as his people. I've recently been reading a book by comedian and author Trevor Noah. Now, Trevor Noah is the host of The Daily Show, and he grew up in a world where apartheid was in existence. It was in place. In his book, Trevor speaks eloquently about relationships, and one quote that stuck with me as I was writing this sermon was this. He said, "Being chosen is the greatest gift you can give to another human being." Choosing someone to be your friend, to be your partner, choosing someone else. It's the greatest gift we can give each other, is to choose each other. Jesus chose us. Jesus knows us by name, and we're called to choose each other. Because we know that we're Christians through our love for one another, just as Jesus loved us. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Jesus is the one for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. And finally, in a world where everything is possible, anything is possible, and you can be anything that you want to be, choose to be kind and choose to love one another. Happy Easter.
Amen.